Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our generation's team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your host here, as you know, every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. here on 101.1 The Oldies Channel. And thanks to G3 and our engineer here, and to The Oldies Channel, most popular station now for 60s and 70s music by far. It's amazing, you know, how many people I run into, George, that really love the channel. And they listen to they hear my commercial for the magazine. And they are tuning in. I get calls almost every week now from people that wanted more information. I said, well, we listen to the show again. Go to our website, and there's a phone number there, but they'll call me. It's so easy to call me. Call the company. So today we have Ku from Caregiver's Heart, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And your last name again was Demonte.
Demonte.
Yes. Okay. All right. Local girl. You can take your mask off if you want. Are you vaccinated?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I am.
We had a discussion last week about being vaccinated. And so let me just ask you this then. Mm-hmm. Today we're talking about caregiving. And we will call this Caregiver's Tips 201.
Okay.
Or 2.1. What was it? 2.1 or 201? It's really more, I want to get more deep dive into more specific caregiving things, but how are facilities, but so cool today, we're going to talk about caregiving tips, but she does home care home placement. Is that what do you call it?
I specialize in placement and residential care homes.
Residential care homes specifically.
Yeah, so arch care homes, foster homes. We also work with assisted living communities.
Okay.
And then private skilled nursing.
So let's start off with COVID. How are you guys dealing with that, or how does your clients deal with that? Can you meet with clients? Do you do virtual? Do you phone call? How do you deal with that?
Oh, well, it really depends on what's happening in the community. So at some point, everything was shut down. We had to do everything over the phone or virtually, or meet in a space where we can be 6 feet apart. But we just noticed that a lot of families were kind of wanting to not meet in person. And then making sure we're, using masks, especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
But as the numbers got better, then they felt more comfortable about meeting
numbers
in person.
Going down and more people being vaccinated.
Yeah. So, more people being vaccinated is always good for us, in the healthcare field.
Oh, especially healthcare field. In fact, last week we had a discussion about being vaccinated as a healthcare worker, and I think hopefully sooner than later, all healthcare workers will have to be required to be vaccinated. And I get, I was talking to a person in the healthcare field where they worked at a major hospital and they were not vaccinated. She's shaking her head, guys. Cool, shaking. And I have a good buddy of mine in the mainland. And he goes, I shake my head twice. Like, yeah. I get all the reasons and they mean well, but at the end of the day, being vaccinated is the safest route to go.
Yes. And also the people that we work with, seniors and their loved ones, their family members, they just feel safer for you to be around their loved one when you're vaccinated.
Since you deal with facilities and care homes and foster arch, et cetera, are those facilities or places allowing people that are not vaccinated to come into the community?
I want to say at this point, because it's, it's more of a push for people to get vaccinated, maybe they are. But I know that everyone in the home is required to get vaccinated. And then they usually would want someone, if they're accepting a resident to come into their home, they would like for them to get vaccinated. Not to say that they don't. I don't know exactly if they don't take people that are unvaccinated. But for the most part, a lot of the caregivers we work with really push for people to be first COVID tested before they come in and then be vaccinated.
Yeah. I just got back from Vegas. And the numbers in early to mid August, even late August, the number of positive rates was lower than Hawaii. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because they were requiring masks. They went back, they were requiring masks, and then when Vegas opened up, they didn't require masks. And then I think June, July, they didn't require masks, except for in the hotel, not around town. And then they had the plastic shields, and then they got rid of that mid to late July, and then it came back, got worse. Now they require masks everywhere, and it's gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Gone down. I was surprised. You know, myself and my friend told me that. Did you know that? I was like, really? Wow. I got tested when I came back. And I'm fine. But I can see how family is dealing with this. But are there some people, do you know, I'm not, you're not a doctor, but are there some people that can't get vaccinated because of their age or their health?
From what I've seen so far, I haven't run into anyone that couldn't get the vaccination. Now, I have heard of a few incidents where they did get the vaccination and they had the side effects.
Yeah.
But side usually effects. They were older or they had some kind of health condition.
I've had some people like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was telling you before we started that, you know, today, Koo, we're going to talk about placement, because that's what you do. But before they get placed, they have to make a decision that they want to be placed. And I did a session with some attorneys a couple of months ago, and I'm doing one again in November, about how to have that conversation. So when people come to you, are they already ready to go and move into a place, or you have to talk to them about what options there are, or convince them to go, that they need to go? How does that work with you when they come to you eventually?
Yeah, so the first time initially when I talk to someone, I like to explain to them what the options are first. You know, whether it's residential care home placement or assisted living communities or home care or nursing home. Because when they first come to us, they usually are all confused about what the options are.
Yeah.
They usually would say, I want to go to a nursing home, when they mean a care home, you know.
Yeah.
Or they want to go to a nursing home and then they say assisted living. You know, it's different.
Yeah.
And so I just, before we even start off with, you know, finding the placement, we really want them to understand what they're getting into, and we want them to choose what option they want.
Yeah. That's really important, guys. The different levels of care and different facilities, different costs. I'm actually doing another session with these attorneys in November, the different cost of care. And, you know, people are shocked when I say it's $14,000 a month.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. But, and actually, Neighbor Islands is more than Oahu. There's one place here, I think Leahi is up there. But Neighbor Islands, we see it all the time. And that's why they go on Medicaid. Don, do you handle Medicaid places as well?
No, I don't. I don't do Medicaid placements.
Yeah, that's kind of harder. But I've run into families recently that their attorney or their financial advisor, or actually the hospital, told them to go on Medicaid. I say, well, first of all, you got to learn what Medicaid is for long-term care versus health care. What it used to be called MedQuest. Well, before that was called QXA, I believe it was called. But I think people got to understand the different levels of care. So when they come to you, do the children call you or do the parent call you?
Most of the time it's the children, and then so we do discuss what's going on at the moment. We discuss also, you know, if they are thinking of doing Medicaid, because we go ahead and let them know the cost can be anywhere starting off between $4,000 to $8,000
of what?
Of a month for a residential care home placement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we also let them know the cost of assisted living, home care even, and then skilled nursing, you know, and because that plays a big factor. And then if they can afford it long term, or how long is it that they can afford the care?
That's what people really. I got a call recently, a couple of days ago. The client's running out of money. They've had 5 years of long term care insurance, and I asked basic questions like, how's their health, how's their memory, how's their demeanor, how is their mobility, and I always think 3 to 5 years longer. So we're going to run out in a year, if not sooner. And they've already spent about $500,000, $500,000 on care. I had a gentleman about a year ago, the financial advisor called me because the financial advisor was managing the money, They already went through $1 million. 10 years of care. Allie, whoa.
Yeah.
I would have had a plan in place.
Exactly.
A short-term plan and a long-term plan. Because that's a lot of money. That's hard dollars. That's net after taxes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something I think. So when the children call you, what is the issue? They need to be taken out of the home, or they can't deal with the parent anymore?
Sometimes they're in rehab and they can't go home.
They cannot go home.
They're told that mom and dad cannot go home by themselves.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So that happens sometimes. And then sometimes they're caregivers of their parents and they've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
And they came to the point where they're feeding the caregiver burnout.
Yeah,
and some of them are, you know, kind of like that sandwich generation, they call it, where taking care of young children, taking care of mom and dad.
Yep.
But especially in Hawaii, everybody wants to take care of their own. That's what I notice a lot.
They want to, but I would say that's natural.
Yeah.
The reality of life is that can you?
Yes.
And for how long?
Right.
And what about your spouse?
Mm-hmm.
And your children? I've seen marriages break up because of that.
Yes.
They've seen it focus. This is my mom. I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Now, husband, you're secondary.
Like, or I've seen where the daughter-in-law was treated really badly.
Oh.
By the mother-in-law, or the, not really father-in-law's, actually it's more the mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, they need help. That mother-in-law needs help, needs care. And they're like, no, I'm not taking care of your mom. You have to take care of her. And it causes a huge, you know, issue with their marriage.
Yeah. So when somebody calls you and you say, yeah, I've had this call many times where relative, friend, client of mine say, yeah, mom's in the hospital. She's in rehab. And rehab, by the way, Medicare, if they're over 65, will pay for most of the costs. And it's like first 30 days and 60 days and 90 days. But if you're not getting better, they will ask you to leave.
Yeah. So it depends. If you're getting better, if you're doing excellent, they actually might discharge you sooner.
Yeah, that too.
Or if you're not doing anything at rehab, then you will be discharged soon.
I had a client of mine. The daughter called me up and said, you know, my dad's had a heart attack, and he's disabled now, and he's doing rehab at a facility. But he's not doing good. It was a friend of mine. So I said, well, okay, you do know that if he doesn't get better, they will actually maybe have to discharge him. I said, what do you mean? Because if he's not getting better, no sense to stay here. And the dad actually wanted to go home. He was not happy. I said, well, guys are different. And this guy was a pretty successful guy. And I said, you know, for those kind of guys, if they can't go back to normal life, they get depressed. They shut down. They don't want to listen to nobody. It's not anybody's fault, but just the way their mentality of thinking. And I offered to go talk to the guy. I'm not a trained counselor, mediator, financial advisor, attorney, whatever, just a mortgage guy. But I have a lot of experience like yourself dealing with families. And for a guy especially, they just react differently to therapy, professionals talking to him. But I can kind of relate a little bit with him. So they didn't do that. I said, well, you better be careful. And sure enough, they said, okay, today's Tuesday. Dad's going to be discharged Friday. I said, okay, what's the plan? So what do you mean? Can he come home? I don't have to ask. So sure enough, next day, he called back. Yeah, doctor said he can't go home. I said, okay, now what do you do? And so typically, now you answer that for me. Typically, does a facility have a social worker, nurse aide, whatever, that can give them options? Or is there a list of things or a care plan?
Yeah, social workers from day one, they're already planning for discharge.
Okay, so that's families and children, you got to know that,
because
they don't want you there, right?
Well, they want you there so you can get better.
Yeah.
But, you know, the goal most of the time is to get better, you know, and return back to life again. They want to get you to the point where how you were before you even ended up in the hospital.
Right.
You know,
right.
But not a lot of people will return, you know, back to how they were prior.
A lot of time, especially from falls, 70% of all falls, they never recover. 100%. And it's something I warn everybody. So dad can't come back home. And how do you go about that? Do you break down their finances or break down where they live? And how do you find a place?
So usually they might call me and say, hey, my dad's in, you know, a skilled nursing facility, and he's being discharged like in 2 weeks. And they told me that he can't go.
Oh, home. 2 weeks is plenty of time. Try 3 days, 2 days.
Oh, I've had that too. I've heard like tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And at that point, we just look at each other and go,
things went out.
Okay.
Okay. Fire alarm here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So right away, we talked to them about, you know, what is going on, what happened. We asked for a history, their level of care, like if they can walk. And then we go through like, you know, finances. But we actually will explain the options first. You know, this is what you're getting into first, okay? Because a lot of times they don't know what long-term care is.
Yeah.
And they don't know where to turn. All they were told was that my mom or dad's going to be discharged in 2 weeks and I can't take care of them at home.
Yeah, the different levels of care is important, especially for specifically care homes, ARCHES, and foster homes.
Yeah, and not just the reason why it's important too is just because you want to make sure that that person feels comfortable there. You know, so
makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does. You know,
do they go actually visit? Do you take them to visit?
Yeah, definitely. They visit first. Oh. So we always want them to visit the places first. And they look, and we always tell them, don't just Google it and like, you know, go Google Maps Google and go. Yeah, they do.
They do.
But the pictures are not current all the time. You know, so a lot of these caregivers will like renovate their home so it's nice and everything. And sometimes it's like an old picture before when they bought the place. And so some of them go, no, they looked at it and they don't want to. They don't like the area. They don't like the house. I go, did you go there? And they go, no.
You can't do that.
Yeah. So I always tell them, you got to go visit the home because it's a different feel.
You need to do the homework.
Yeah, you need to do your homework. You need to meet the caregiver. You need to see what the setup is like. You need to see what they offer. What are their skills? You know, what they specialize in. Mm-hmm. What kind of residents are currently there? What kind of food do they cook? Are they open to having their mom or dad, you know, have different type of foods if they bring it, you know? So they have to do all of that and also find out what is the price, like what they would charge. And you can't just, you know, do that without really meeting them, you know. But I want to say not everybody has the opportunity to actually visit because there are children that live off island.
Yeah.
So we have to then do other things to, you know, get them to.
You know, FaceTime.
Yeah. So we'll do FaceTime or, you know, send them pictures. We give them opportunities to talk with the caregiver as well over the phone.
Yeah. And so how what's the average stay, do you think? 5 years, 7 years, three years?
Oh, at a care home? Yeah. Average stay probably would be, I want to say, 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, that's
would
what
be
I,
like
that's
the
what
average
I see
stay. Yeah, because a lot of times if you don't have any money, like most people don't plan like 10 years out, you know.
No.
So I want to say at least 2 years.
2 years out, they don't even plan.
Yeah, two years I would say, and then from there they're thinking maybe Medicaid, because they'll run out of finances.
Yeah, so Medicaid guys, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know how much you know about Medicaid, but Medicaid is for long-term care. There is Medicaid for health insurance, which is MedQuest
community, yeah.
Yeah, and so you know, I have a client right now looking at that, and I said, it's fine, but just remember, you know, you're only gonna have wherever there's a bed, and your property cannot be in trust, blah blah blah. They take all your income except for $50, and I think right now there's space around town, around Oahu at least. I don't know about the neighborhood so much. But I think in 5 to 10 years, they're going to be harder to find a room because as the baby boomers and their parents get older and age and need care, I think we have one of the best Medicaid programs in the country. The difference is we have a limited amount of beds. And how long can these homes work and live on this? Especially, you know, the mother will work, be as a nurse, retire, and start a care home, which is quite often. And at some point, they're going to retire. And if those kids don't have healthcare background or want to do that work, it's going to be tough to continue that.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all these restaurants that are closing up because the mom and pop shops, the kids don't want to take it over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the same thing with the care industry. But it's just something I think they got to really think about. So when somebody says Medicaid, do you explain what Medicaid is and what?
Yes. Yeah, we do. It's important. And that's why we always ask about that because you have to plan. you know, if you're thinking about doing Medicaid. So we always let them know what Medicaid is and the eligibility requirements for it. And if they need any specialists to go to that can hold their hand.
That?
Like somebody, like a Medicaid specialist that can kind of hold their hand through the process.
Then through the process, yeah, there's a couple companies that do
so
it.
So we'll refer them out to them if they want to speak to them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt to try and find out if that could be helpful for you.
As long as it doesn't cost you any money in the pre-planning stages.
Yeah, because Medicaid can be very overwhelming, I want to say, families, especially if you have a lot of assets. You know, you have different, everyone has different financial situations.
Everybody.
I mean, they might have land somewhere or a house that nobody knew about, you know, or some houses are in trust. And, you know, like, how do you navigate that, you know, in order to get mom and dad on Medicaid, you know?
Well, they take it out of a trust.
Right.
And it's always the best thing to do because you have to go through probate.
Yeah.
In the past, they were all in irrevocable trusts. And they wouldn't put liens on the properties. Now they are. It has to come out. And can you change an irrevocable trust? Sometimes not so easy, you know. Are there in your experience are there Medicaid beds around town still?
Yeah, there is. But I want to say in general, it really depends on someone's level of care if they would be accepted. So
what do you mean by that?
So if their level of care is really high, say they weigh. For example, say they weigh like 200 pounds.
Hey, I'm 200 pounds.
You better stay in shape.
I try to. That's why I came from swimming this morning at the Y.
Good. Keep it up.
Thanks, too.
But I mean, you know, say someone's 200 pounds, for example. They can't walk. They're non-ambulatory. They take a lot of medications for different health ailments. Caregivers, even at the foster home, aren't able to service them because they're
licensed for it.
They're licensed for it, but they don't have enough help.
Oh, I see.
You know,
only one person.
So they can't, you know, lift and carry someone like that all the time.
Oh, yeah. I don't expect anybody.
Yeah.
To do that for me. I'm going to get a scooter.
Yeah.
I had a guy about 400 pounds. He had his unbelievable scooter wheelchair. It was like hydraulics on that thing. It's like, I couldn't believe it. I think he sleeps and he goes all the way back.
Wow. But not everybody has that.
Oh,
either.
No, that was expensive.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you do, I think some insurance does cover a scooter, but it's like a plain scooter.
Yeah. Not it's hard to get a scooter, though. You got to really, you know, prove why you need it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I saw a $20,000 scooter from Japan.
Jeez.
In Waikiki.
Was it made out of gold?
I was beautiful looking. It was white. And my friend's wife needed a scooter. I looked at that thing. I was thinking, like, can this rotate in a circle?
Wow.
It was like, is there wheels on that thing? You could barely see the wheels. It was really beautiful. I said, how much did that thing cost?
$20,000.
$20,000. I said, where'd you get it from? Japan. It was unbelievable. It was like, I looked at it. I've seen scooters. I looked at that thing like, wow, this thing can go up curbs and everything. I mean, beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, it was really
nice
looking.
Not everybody can afford to get scooters. And, you know, and we do quite often have to work with people that are heavy.
Oh, I'm sure.
And, you know, they can't walk. And so, yeah, not everybody can service someone like that.
Yeah. So I can see that. Well, we're going to take a short break, but we want to talk about dementia care as well. Yeah. We're here with Kuu Damonte from Caregiver's Heart. She's one of our Generations partners and an expert in placement for caregiving. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
You've worked hard to make it to this point.
faithfully paying your mortgage and putting money into your home. Now you can tap into this equity with the reverse mortgage loan designed specifically for those age 60 and older. Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage specialist, NMLS number 582-944. Let him show you how you can use a reverse mortgage to gain a new source of funds, just as you would with a traditional home equity loan that you would get at a local bank, but with additional benefits. Give him a call at 808-234-3117, and he'll show you how a reverse mortgage could be an important tool for you. He lives and works right here in Hawaii and understands Hawaii borrowers. Not applicable in all states. Some states may impose a higher age requirement. Visit reversefunding.com/equity-elite for details. Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS number 1019941. Telephone 888-494-0882. For licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Licensed Mortgage Banker, New York State Department of Financial Services. Again, call 808-234-3117.
4 and 5 night packages from $699. Vacations Hawaii, our favorite connection to Vegas.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. Here I'm Percy Ihara, your host, every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. We'll look for us on Facebook. We always have postings and stories, and you know, this show here on Care Home Placement will be on our website, generations808.com. Don't forget to tell your friends about it, because you know, we always with Kuu here, our guest today, was talking about how people don't plan ahead, and I get it. But if you have a parent aging, whether they're aging at 70 or aging at 90, you got to start thinking about down the road when that person won't be able to drive, if they get a heart attack, stroke, cancer, dementia. What is the plan ahead of time? Because if this stuff happens, we need to have a plan. Otherwise, you can be stressed out, or you can get your loved one be discharged in a day or two or a week, maybe 2 weeks, and you can't take off work that quickly sometimes. And the amount of stress, and you need to learn, you need who to call. Yeah, Google helps, but it's not the best place to go all the time. You can always email me from the magazine, percy@generations808.com, or call me in a magazine. Go on our website. You can self-teach yourself. Otherwise, have professionals like us to work with. Or go to hpgs.org. They have a lot of webinars. We do webinars as well every month. So all our webinars, our radio shows, and past issues of the magazine are on our website. And please take advantage of that, because I counsel families about 30% of my day. And even though I have a mortgage business and a magazine, but it's always the last minute. I will tell you, 95% of the time, it's last minute. I have told a story before. I was at a restaurant about 2 months ago now, and I saw a bunch of my friends that we golf with, and they're at a restaurant, and they're walking in, and the guy goes, I gotta talk to you. And longtime friend of mine said, okay. So they call me tonight. I go, okay. About 9 o'clock, he calls me. He goes, hey, my mom's being discharged Friday. This is Wednesday. Friday. Oh, so what kind of care plan are you going to have when you get discharged? And where are you going to go? I said, I don't know. I said, when did you find this out? Today. No. Really? Wow. So I sent him a bunch of information. Percy, this is a lot of stuff I got to think about. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. I think about 10 bullet points I gave him to start thinking about, besides talking to his brother. It just, guys, is so much involved. That's why we do the radio show. That's why we do webinars. That's why we have experts like Kuu come on the show to give you the information to plan ahead, because it's stressful. Family fighting. I don't care if you're an attorney, doctor, dentist, a laborer, whatever it is. Nobody teaches this stuff. And I don't care how smart you are. Just because you're smart doesn't mean you're going to be doing a good job at this. I don't care if you're the most caring person. Doesn't mean you're going to be good at this. You got to get educated. You know, we had on our cover, the sandwich generation, dealing with parents and dealing with kids. One of the persons was saying, you know, I'm a nurse, but I'm a pediatric nurse. I don't know nothing about age geriatrics and dealing with a family, let alone a loved one. You know, how do you, and a lot of times I run into this, you know, with a client or a relative, talking to them about this stuff because they want a doctor to talk to them about that. Well, a lot of times doctors don't have time. They may not even know who to call. Now, maybe someone in the office or the hospital, like the social worker or the nurse, they may know. But it's just something that there's so much to know. And I get it. And that's why we do the magazine. That's why we do so many things. That's why we have you on today. So today, Ku'u Demonte from Caregiver's Heart. Now, let's talk about, first of all, I remember now, she's on Facebook, guys. Look for Caregiver's Heart. You got some great stuff. Where did you get all your stuff from, by the way?
Just from personal experiences that we've had in working with families over the past 6 years.
But you have like cool pictures and cool posters and things. Where did you get all that from?
Yeah, we just, you know, we just create it. And
really?
Yeah, but the content that we have is really from things that people have asked us, call us and ask us over the year of conversations we had with people. My own experience working at a skilled nursing facility, too.
And dealing with your parents? Grandparents?
My grandparents, right. You know, experiences I had myself when my grandma, my grandpa went through hospice, ended up in the hospital, and our own family dynamics during that season. That's actually how I got into working with seniors, because when I went to school, I was supposed to work with children and families. So, yeah.
Wow. I was in finance since 1988, you know. Maybe before you were born, maybe. And I never thought I'd be working with seniors. Never thought about reverse mortgages. Just kind of fell on my lap. And I was like, big market, interesting. And then I had to learn about it. And that's why I have guys like you. So care home placement, is there a cost to that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all private pay. Your insurance, like HMSA, Kaiser, doesn't cover that at
all. Only long-term insurance, care insurance may cover it.
Yep. Or if you are in the military, depend on how much you are connected with the military, might give you a stipend every month.
Yeah.
To pay for care home costs.
There's two words. I forget the name of it. But yeah, if you're retired military, veteran, you have to have a certain amount of service, and it's not a lot. And I think you get up to about $2,800, $2,900 a month.
Yeah, you really have to check with the VA.
Yeah, the VA, you fill out the application. It's like filling out a Medicaid application. But home and something care, I forget what it's called. But yeah, I looked at it actually for my parents.
Oh, okay.
My dad retired military. And I think the max is out about $2,900. I can't remember but yeah. Give me a call. I can help you with that. I can point you in the right direction. But if you just Google VA services for long-term care, there is a stipend that covers that. And for a spouse, if your wife was not in the military, needed help, I think it's about 50% of that. Mm. But it's still something.
Yeah. That's always a challenge for us to find out that information. So maybe I can talk to you about it.
Yeah, it's hard actually to find.
Yes.
I had a hard time finding it. In fact, there was a company about 5-6 years ago that did that. They're the only people in Hawaii that did it. But it was very time consuming, and I think the company went out of business. They got tired of, you know, it's a
lot
difficult
of work, yeah.
Being in home care is difficult, and you're dealing with stress all day long, dealing with human lives all day long, and it can be really depressing on life itself. That's why I try to look at the fun things about life and the positive side about aging. So home care, do they pay you for placement?
No, for residential care home placement, yeah, this placement side, no, they don't pay us. It's absolutely free. It doesn't matter if, you know, we've been working with you for a month, a week, or 2 months, you know.
So wherever they place you, they pay you. They pay a referral fee or something like that, right?
Yeah, so we have agreements with our care homes for promoting their homes and their services.
Right. And so your website, I know you do home care now. You started, what you said, in June?
Yeah, so we started another service. So we've been doing specializing in placement for the past 6 years. And, you know, we said, you know what, we got to give our community more. They need more help.
Yeah.
And so we started home care.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so tell me about the licensing part.
Oh, the licensing part.
Because there are a bunch of, There are 140 home care agencies.
Yeah, maybe more.
Yeah, maybe not even licensed. But yeah. They all have to be licensed.
Yeah, they should be. So in the past, I want to say a couple of years back, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, the Department of Health actually mandated all of the home care companies to become licensed. Mm. So they weren't before.
Wow.
And so...
what does that require?
You have to apply with the Department of Health. They have a set of things that they want you to send in, and they want to know your experience and stuff. And then you have to wait, until they license you pretty much. But in the past, they never had to go through that requirement. But one of the most important requirement, I think, is like the CNAs. So in the past, when you were not licensed, you didn't have to hire certified nurses aides. So you could hire basically
anybody,
and they would be, someone that just had a little bit of experience. Some people have a lot of experience actually working in the healthcare field. But they would be, typically they would be nurses aides, but they were allowed to do personal care. And when I mean personal care, it's like helping with toileting, changing, bathing,
You don't need to be a CNA for that?
So before you didn't have to when you're doing home care. But now, because you're licensed under the Department of Health, you have to be a certified nurse's aide.
All of them?
If you're doing personal care, yes, you have to be. Yeah. So if everything, if it's hands-off, then it's okay that you can just be a nurse's aide.
I got it.
Yeah, so because sometimes people just want companionship, just supervision, but they can do everything.
Yeah.
So it's okay to be a nurse's aide, but otherwise, if you're going to do any kind of personal care, you should be a certified nurse's aide. And that means certified nurse's aide doesn't mean that you took a course and you got the certificate.
No.
No, it doesn't just mean that, because a lot of people get confused about it. Now, you have to have taken a course, a approved course, CNA course. And it takes at least sometimes a month or up to 2 to 3 months to get
right.
And then you have to sit for a Prometrics test. That's a state Prometrics test. And you have to pass that. Then you would be a certified nurse's aide.
Okay. But isn't there a requirement of CE or renewing that license every year or 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a cost to that too.
Well, you have to keep up just like everyone else that is licensed, like social workers or,
keep on renewing their license.
Yeah. Anybody, they have to renew their license. They have to go get trainings.
Your employees are CNAs?
Yes.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Do people charge more because of that versus just like a companion?
No, not necessarily. But we just have to make sure that we stay compliant with the Department of
Health. What's the average cost of home care?
It would cost anywhere between $25 to $35. I heard some companies are going all the way up to even $38 to $40 now.
Yeah. And then, I've seen companies that have I had a client that had a nurse.
Yeah. We don't have any nurses.
$50-$60
yeah,
an hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a lot. I mean, an hour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about your website, because I'm trying to give information so people, like, guys, when I need help, I call Ku, right?
Yeah.
Or I text you, like, hey, this client needs help, da, da, da. Well, do they go to your website first, or do you show them different places?
Yeah, they can go to Facebook. We're on Facebook, Caregivers Heart Hawaii. They can go to Instagram. We're on Instagram. Also on LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn's good. Facebook good. But do a lot of seniors go to Instagram?
You'd be surprised. I didn't think that many seniors would, but a lot of their kids are on there. And I have gotten people that, have called me because they saw me on Instagram.
And so on Instagram, you're just posting what?
Content, about senior care, about placement, about what we do, so that people understand. Because it's hard for people to understand sometimes what we actually do. Because they don't know what placement is. And they're like when we used to go to the fairs, when we could go to fairs, they would just kind of like come to us and we're like, we do placement, and then they would just like, I don't need that yet.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to need it one day, or your parents are going to need it. And so they sort of just kind of casually pass it by, but they don't really understand the value in understanding it, way in advance, because everybody gets there.
Yeah. So what happened when the kids call you up and is it almost 100% of the time you can find a place?
Yeah. It just depends on their level of care and then if they can afford the services.
Yeah, that's the thing. People don't realize. I tell people, it's not a affording. It's part of when it happens, where is it going to be, and how are you going to pay for that?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. I mean, yeah, hopefully they die soon. Everybody hopes they die soon before you need care. But, I mean, the reality is only he upstairs knows that answer, right?
Right.
Let me ask you this. What about dementia care?
Yeah. So a lot of our caregivers do care for people that have dementia. So I want to say, like, maybe 90% of the people we work with have some form of dementia or Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get around.
And so what about placing those kind of clients or patients?
Yeah, we place them all the time.
And so when people have dementia, and we haven't even talked about mobility or anything like that, but when we talk about dementia, what kind of places accept those kind of clients?
Care homes, foster homes, assisted living communities.
Arches?
They do. It just depends on where they're at in their disease. You know, they might be in the beginning stages of dementia where they're just kind of forgetful.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't display any behaviors at that point. But they're always forgetting. They forget how to take their medications. They need cues, you know, all the time, instructions.
What about mobility issues?
Sometimes it comes with mobility and dementia. Yeah.
And so let's say I'm 240.
Yeah.
Ish. And let's say I have dementia and I have mobility issues. How would you be able to place somebody like myself?
I would have to look for a caregiver that can handle your care.
No, but I mean, would it have to be a guy?
No, not necessarily. We do have caregivers that are women, but they will usually have more help at the home.
I got it.
Yeah, so they might have two other helpers that can help with transferring.
And would it cost more for someone to care for them like myself?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. So you better save your money.
I have long-term care insurance.
Invest more.
I bought long-term care insurance.
That's good. I have it too.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I tell everybody, if you can qualify, get it. You know, my parents, my dad had a quintuple bypass. My mother had breast cancer. And they both got long-term care insurance after that.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't so knowledgeable back in the day. I just told them you should get it. And I had people that would talk to them. And then they got it finally. And then after a while, I like I said, he goes, you got it? You even had a heart attack. And he goes, I had quintuple bypass. That's where you open up your chest and crack it open like that. And so I didn't know much about long-term care insurance. He goes, how did you qualify for that? He goes, well, it's simple. Next time I have a heart problem, I'm going to die. Then I can never pay for care. Makes sense. But yeah, for cancer, other issues of diseases, depends on the state. Always get checked out because, you know, my mother got it after she had breast cancer.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. I didn't think that. But a different thing is doses of medications as well. If you need help, Michael Yee in our magazine is an expert. He's probably done the most long-term care insurance in Hawaii for probably like the last 10 years. He's an expert in that. And I always pick his brain about long-term care insurance. And also the biggest issue now is the insurance companies don't want to pay.
Well, you know what? We've dealt with long-term care insurance companies in what we do. And we've seen some policies where they got it a long time ago. They were sold the policy and they didn't really know what it covered.
Yeah.
Like we had one, they wanted to use it for placement and it only covered adult daycare.
Yeah.
We said, what kind of policy is this?
No, you know, it's been around 30, 40 years and early policies, there were different things where they couldn't afford full-time care. The old policy, most of the old policy required them go to a skilled facility,
mm-hmm.
not a care home. The policy today does everything all the above. If they need care, home care, adult daycare, whatever. And also, some policy will pay for you to take care of your mother.
Yeah, yeah. So whenever we deal with someone that has a long-term care policy, we always ask about that. We always tell them to check what the policy covers. Because sometimes it doesn't necessarily cover care home and foster home. And not just that, but in Hawaii, it's different. You know, we're classified, our residential care homes are classified differently from other places. Yep. Like in California, they don't know what an arched care home is.
Terminology is different.
Yeah, I did try to look for a care home once for my husband's grandmother. She lives in California. He's like, my grandma needs care. Can you help? And so I called around and I was like, hey, do you guys have care homes? I had to call, their Department of Health there. And they're like, what is that? You know?
Yeah, Medi-Cal over there, which is their Medicaid, is way different. You just got to call the Office on Aging. They have a resource center in San Diego that's very well trained people over there. Placing somebody with dementia, mobility issues, and even Medicaid. So you said the average stay is about 2 to 3 years?
2 to 3 years, and I noticed that's how long the long-term care policies will last.
Most policies are 3 years.
Yeah.
If you have 5 years, that was great. They used to have lifetime.
Yeah.
They don't have lifetime anymore.
Yeah.
But we've talked about this publicly before. Coach Les Murakami has lifetime care. He's had care for 13, 14 years.
Yeah. That's.
Can you imagine how much that insurance company has been paid out? Over $1.5 million.
I know. I don't see that very often, but when they have
it's so expensive. Yeah. It wasn't expensive back in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. It's so expensive now they don't take any more policies.
You know, I'm pretty young. You know, and I got the policy maybe 5 years ago. And, you know, a lot of people my age don't really think about getting a long-term care policy. But because of what I, you know, have worked with over the years, people seen what families go through, a lot of tears, stress, you know, all of that stuff.
Breaks families apart.
I told them, you know, I need to get a long-term care policy. Yep. But, you know, with that, I kind of just think about it. Me and my husband think about it just like car insurance. Like, you don't know if you're going to need it, but you just pay for it.
Well, let's put it this way. The chance of your house burning down is about 1 in 100,000. The chance of you getting a car accident is about 1 in 30,000. The chance of you needing long-term care for women is nearly 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Chance of men needing long-term care down the road is nearly 70%. And those figures are 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And we live longer in Hawaii. We're healthier. So the downside to being healthier is that you're not going to die right away. Plain and simple. You're going to slow down. You're going to need a cane, then a walker, then a scooter, wheelchair. You know? So your guy, what Ku does here at Caregiver's Heart is essential. If you have a parent, loved one, auntie, uncle, neighbor, somebody from church, or coworker that you know, you're talking to the coworker and it's their mother and they're aging and they complain or talk about the issues of that, really start planting the seed. You know, I do that with relatives of my own. Plant a seed at some point down the road. You're going to be forced out of here or fall down and you're not going to be able to go back home. What's the plan? Because unless you smoke, I always tell people and I joke about it, but it's true. If you don't smoke and drink a lot, you're not going to die right away.
Mm.
And it's something that happens every week. I get calls. I hate to laugh about it, but we've been doing it for, we're going to be doing 12 years pretty soon.
Wow.
The magazine. And it happens every week to this day. That's why I just tell horror stories, because it's a fact, you know, it's a fact. It's going to happen, guys. So it's something that, you know, what are some of the major questions that families can ask when it comes to placement, like how to choose a place?
They always ask me, which one would I choose?
That's a good one. Well, you're an expert in that field.
Yeah. Well, if it was your mom, which one would you put them in?
Makes sense.
You know.
And what do you
that's
say?
That's always funny to me. I laugh at first. But, you know, I always tell them, look, I would choose all of them, you know, for different reasons. And that's why it's important for you to do your homework, do your research, and go out and see them, you know, and really get a feel for what it's like, whether you like the setup of the home or if, you know, you like the caregiver, you don't like the caregiver for whatever reason, because they all are very different personality-wise.
Yes.
And so you have to get, you know, the organic feel for that caregiver and whether, you know, you feel like, oh, I really like her, you know. Her place wasn't as, you know, renovated as other places I've seen, but I know that that's the caregiver for my mom and dad.
How important is food?
Food is very important. Oh my gosh, it's so important because, you know, some people want to eat Japanese food. I had a 100-year-old that ate sashimi and had sake every night until he died.
That's me. I'm going to have sake beer.
Yeah.
That's a Chardonnay.
Yeah. So it's so important. So when we have that request from a family member, like, my dad really likes this, or sometimes the resident themselves don't voice it, but we ask, you know, like, is it because of the food? Do they want to eat a certain type? And if it's okay with the doctor, then, you know, they can talk to the caregiver about possibly offering those types of foods. And I just want to say, because a lot of our caregivers are Filipino, it doesn't mean they're going to eat Filipino food every night.
I love Filipino food.
I know. Who doesn't, right?
I love it, man.
You're like,
my initials is PI. Come on.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, lots of vegetables It's yummy. But, you know, some people, they get discouraged of going there because they feel like their parents are going to only eat Filipino food every night. And that's not always true.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. How do people get a hold of you? And your website, phone number, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they can go to caregivershearthawaii.com. And they can also call us at 808-425-5101.
Or your Facebook page.
You can go to Facebook.
Just search Caregiver's Heart?
Yeah. Just search Caregiver's Heart Hawaii on Facebook and Instagram. Yep.
I've never done Instagram yet. I have an account, but I never really did anything yet. I'm just too busy for that. But
yeah.
I mean, I should think about that. But anyway, Kuku, thank you so much. This girl is genuine, sincere, knowledgeable. You know, like I said, it's going to come at some point, or you don't want to get burned out or have family fights. Just start planting a seed. Not force them, plant a seed, let them go see a place, possibly they might like it, and move on. But yeah, you can't force a loved one to go to a care home, but I get that. But anyway, thanks everybody. Don't forget generations808.com or our Facebook page as well, Generations Magazine. As always, everybody, aloha and live well.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
The combination of interest rates at near all-time lows and home values at near all-time highs create a great opportunity to get the most out of your home's built-up equity. Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage specialist, NMLS number 582-944. If you are 60 or older, you might qualify for a reverse mortgage loan that could turn your equity into extra funds for retirement. Take a few minutes to visit with him about ways this plan could work for you. As a certified senior advisor and being certified in long-term care planning, he has helped many older homeowners just like you to retire more freely. Call him now at 808-234-3117. That's 808-234-3117. Not applicable in all states. Some states may impose a higher age requirement. Visit reversefunding.com/equity-elite for details. Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS number 1019941. Telephone 888-494-0882. For licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Licensed Mortgage Banker, New York State Department of Financial Services. Again, call 808-234-3117.
5914777.
Complete 4 and 5 night packages from $699. Vacations Hawaii, our favorite connection to Vegas.